So when the Bible teaches us this, sometimes it uses analogies or metaphors that are common things to the time, and so people can understand them well because they understand what's being discussed because they see that all the time. So for instance, if Jesus were to come back now, I think he might say teachings like, the kingdom of God is like a baseball game, or the kingdom of God is like a tomato plant, things that we could relate to. In Jesus' time and in Old Testament times, people could relate to a shepherd. They understood what a shepherd was like and what a shepherd's life was like. Now, perhaps some of you have tended sheep in your time. There were precious few sheep growing up in North Babylon, New York. So I had to do a little research on what it meant in Jesus' time to be a shepherd, and I think we can learn from that as we discuss it. But the first thing I'd like to address is in the first reading from the prophet Jeremiah. This was written about 600 years before the time of Christ, and even then they had trouble with bad shepherds, shepherds that were teaching wrongly and scattering the flock. And Jeremiah railed against them in his preaching. And unfortunately, even up to our own time, do we suffer from the effects of bad shepherds that scatter the flock. The biggest crisis, I would say, in the Catholic Church in the 21st century has been the scandals involving the shepherds of the church. First, of course, the sex abuse scandals of 2002. Most recently, the scandals associated with Theodore McCarrick in 2018. And it's brought into question, for some, the faith itself. People have left the Catholic Church because of this. Or people have left the faith altogether and no longer believe in Christ because of these bad shepherds. Sometimes I wish that the Lord had put in charge of the church angels and archangels, but he decided instead to put flawed, failed human beings who make mistakes and sin, and sometimes sin badly and hurt people badly, especially those shepherds entrusted with the care of the flock. Many strides have been taken since then to try and prevent these kinds of things or deal with them as they come up. Not perfect yet, but we're trying. Many popes and bishops have apologized for the pain that has been caused to families and to parishioners because of these scandals. And if you've not heard an apology directly from a church official, please take it from me, as lowly as I am, that we do feel very sorry for those things that have happened in the past associated with those bad shepherds. Please accept that apology as it is given. So Jesus talks about seeing the crowds and being moved with pity for them. His heart was moved with pity. That's used, but the Greek is really about the guts, splanchnoi. It's like it gets him right here. He sees these people and how troubled they are, and it really gets to the core of who he is. And he recognizes them as a sheep, as sheep without a shepherd. So what did a shepherd do in Jesus' time? Well, obviously caring for the flock, there were several things that he had to do on a daily basis. It was a hard job. I mean, you probably got up before sunlight. You didn't want to have to work too hard in the hottest part of the day. And there were several things that the shepherd had to do to care for his sheep. One is to take them to a good meadow someplace where there was good food. So he would take them to a place where they could eat healthy food and grow and thrive. The shepherd's other job was to find a place for them to drink water, and it had to be a pool that was a calm pool of water. It couldn't be a stagnant pool with some sort of disease in it or something, but it had to be calm because a stream or a river would spook the sheep and they wouldn't drink. So it had to be some sort of a calm pond or lake somewhere. And the shepherd had to find that for his sheep, hopefully close to the meadow, so they wouldn't do too much walking back and forth. And another big job of the shepherd was to protect the sheep from predators. Lions and bears in Jesus' time, believe it or not, but especially wolves that would come and try and steal the sheep away from him, and he had to be ever vigilant while he was watching his flock. There were even stories of when the sheep came back to the fold, back to the pen or the fenced-in area or wherever it is he kept them overnight, shepherds would sleep at the door of the gate so that nobody could get in, predators or thieves or otherwise. And they were even willing to be at that gate and lay down their life so that those sheep would be protected. So picture these people without shepherds. Picture what a sheep would be like without a shepherd, and picture these people. Supposing they had no shepherd and they wanted to find a place to receive food, a place like the good meadow where a shepherd would lead them. Well, it's the same with us. If we have no shepherds, if we are sheep without shepherds, then the food that we seek in our life will not sustain us. We'll seek the food of money or power or prestige or sexuality or whatever kind of pleasures we get, even filling us full of stuff. Does that bring us true pleasure? Does that give us true food? Is it truly satisfying for us to have a house full of stuff so full that we have to rent a storage place to put more stuff for the stuff that doesn't fit with our other stuff? Is that what sustains us? Is that the good meadow that Christ wants to lead us to? No. If we follow the good shepherd and not the shepherd of our own mind as sheep without a shepherd, but let's follow the good shepherd in Christ and in those pastors and bishops who follow thoroughly, and let's find those things that really satisfy us. Friendship, family, love of neighbor, love of God, service to others, giving of ourselves, thinking more of ourselves than we do of the other person. Those are the things that satisfy. Service that we give to others gives us great satisfaction that these things and stuff and power and money cannot give. That is the true sustenance that we need in order to live our lives in a spiritual way, in a satisfying way. Now, what about sheep without shepherds who are looking for this water? Well, they're going to run around and not find the cool and calm water, but the noisy and busy water that characterizes our modern age. The noisy and busy water that has us staring at glowing rectangles all day long, phones and iPads and television sets, and those kinds of things that give us that background noise and that buzz and that kind of thing that just leaves us annoyed all day long and makes us cross and angry, gives us a headache and back pain and we can't sleep because we're pursuing the noise of the world. And that noise is contributed to by politicians and news channels and websites and conspiracy theorists. And that doesn't satisfy us. That doesn't give us the peace that we need. That doesn't give us the water to satisfy our thirst. It's the water that comes from the peace of Christ, contemplation and prayer, quiet time with Him, time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, praying the rosary, sharing quiet time with friends and family. This is where the calm water is that we seek, not the water of the world that will give us anger and unhappiness. And then the shepherd would protect us from predators. So if we had no shepherd, the predators would be out there to get us. And the biggest predator that's out there that we have to watch out for is the evil one, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, the one that we pray against with the St. Michael prayer at the end of every Mass. He's out there. He and his minions are just as real as can be, no matter what we want to think of him. A wise philosopher once said that the devil's greatest success was to convince us he did not exist. That's how he succeeds. So we have to guard ourselves against the ways of Satan by following the Good Shepherd. Because if we follow the ways of Satan, we'll follow the ways of the world. And more every day as we read the news, we recognize Satan at work, where the society and the news people tell us that right is wrong, that truth is falsehood, that the things that we know to be evil are actually good things, that it's okay to follow other ways rather than church teachings, that all those things are just fine, thank you. They don't tell us the truths, that a marriage is between a man and a woman, that the only acceptable sexuality is between a husband and wife, that abortion is wrong, that euthanasia is wrong, that the death penalty is wrong in most circumstances. These are the things that the church does not, that does teach us, But someone who has no shepherd will not find these things. If we trust ourselves to the shepherd of the church, to our pastors and our bishops, and the teaching magisterium of the church, then we will know what is right. We will know what brings peace. We will recognize that those shepherds are protecting us from the wolves of Satan and the evil one. And that shepherd, that good shepherd, Christ the good shepherd, gave up his life that we might be separated from sin, gave up his life that we might have victory over evil and not Satan in the world. So if we trust that good shepherd, we'll be able to avoid those things that keep us from being protected from those predators that want our soul. So let us not be sheep without shepherds. Let us be sheep that follow the good shepherd Christ and his ministers. Let us know in our hearts what we need to do to live rightly, to have peace, to have sustenance, to have our thirst slaked by the right things, not the wrong things. And we can trust ourselves to Christ in this way, so that we can sing that hymn that we sing sometimes at church, where we pray to Christ, shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.